So our text for this All Saints Day observance is from 1 John 3, these words, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared." So our text, you may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this idea, this reality, that what we will be is not what we are right now, is to be a comfort to us, a comfort to Christians, to all Christians everywhere. But I think we're challenged to think this way. Challenged to think about our future, challenged to think about our eternal future, and think that things are going to be better for us, much better. Now, why is that a challenge? Challenge to think in such a way. Well, with every other indicator in our lives, apart from the Word of God, every other indicator tells us, or seems to at least, yes, every other indicator in our lives points out to us the fact that things are actually going to get worse for us, at least as far as our bodies are concerned. Remember being children? Remember growing? Remember growing bigger, stronger, faster? Remember shooting up in height and eating as much as we possibly could, eating until we were stuffed, then taking a nap, getting up, and eating more, and then not gaining any weight at all? Remember that? Those were the days. My senior year in high school, I cleared a high jump bar that was set at 6 feet 2 inches tall. I then rolled off the mat and walked underneath the bar. I jumped higher than my height. But of course, back then, I weighed a whopping 145 pounds, eating anything and everything I could find. Now, of course, I need a step stool just to get on the mat that the high jumpers land on. What happened? Well, as we get older, what happens? The future of our life here on earth gradually shifts from one of increase of growth of potential to that of decrease, shrinkage, limitation, of struggling to maintain, just to maintain what it is that we have, how it is that we are. And once we've reached that point, the point where we can predict the weather by the aches and pains of our bones and muscles, our future doesn't look so bright. So perhaps that explains why every year, or so it seems, perhaps this downward spiral, physically, mentally, and even emotionally, perhaps, is driving more and more people to go all out to decorate for the eve of All Saints, Halloween. Have you noticed that? I mean, there's some houses here in the neighborhood in Spring Lake Park that have spent hundreds of dollars making their front yards look like a graveyard, with human skeletons hanging from trees, sticking up out of the ground, and strewn about the yard. Now, what's the point of that? What's the point of decorating a house to look like death? Some would suggest that it's a coping mechanism. Coping mechanism for those who, looking toward the future, see nothing but death, see nothing but the grave, see nothing but a skeletal existence, and so soften that future reality, and by having a bit of fun with it. And they have a bit of fun with it, hoping that it will dampen the blow of death when it finally comes. But it won't. And it's a false hope, really. What? Plastic tombstones and skeletons are a false hope. Now, come on, isn't that the reality? Well, not the full, not the complete, not the horrifying reality of such a future. For the full and complete and horrifying reality for those who die and die apart from Christ, that is, apart from faith in Christ, yes, the full, the complete, the horrifying reality of death is not non-existence. It's not bones in the ground and a stone with our name on it, but it's much worse. Much worse. How could it be much worse than that? It could be much worse by being separated, in death from God. From God who created us and sustained us. Separated from God who redeemed us from death by means of His Son, Jesus Christ. Separated from God who sanctifies us with His Holy Spirit through His Word, driving death from us. And being separated from God in death apart from Christ, we will find ourselves in hell, literally. Suffer for eternity without the least of comforts. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, what Jesus said. Now here we need only to think of our wonderful, nice, warm homes in the middle of a Minnesota winter with hot water, microwaves, 71 television sets, LED lighting galore, Wi-Fi going strong, other electronic devices, fridges and freezers full of food, and suddenly not only does the power go out, but the gas shuts off and stays off and the water lines freeze. And what are we but in a world of hurt? All of those devices worthless, food spoiling, temperature falling, the house a completely different reality than it had been just hours earlier. Now, if we can grasp that reality, that scenario, we can begin to understand a future lived apart from God, who takes care of us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, providing us with all that we need to support this body and life, even if we don't believe in Him. That is this life on earth, almost a heavenly existence, God sustaining us continually. So the plastic tombstones, the plastic skeletons strewn across front yards for Halloween are really not that scary. In fact, they are ultimately a denial of the reality of the suffering in hell that will occur apart from Christ. But of course, in Christ, through faith in Christ, the future looks exactly the opposite. In Christ, through faith in Christ, our future reality is not one where we simply are reduced to skeletal remains, but one in which we'll be restored to the health and happiness we once enjoyed when we were younger. And not only will that restoration occur, but it will remain. For entering heaven through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will enter a realm in which there is no sin whatsoever. And not being any sin, we will feel better than we have ever felt before in our entire lives. Why? Well, because we've never lived one moment, not one moment on this earth, we've never lived one moment of our lives without sin, without sin's effects upon our bodies, without sin working within us. So heaven will be for us like when we got that pain medication, perhaps for a wisdom tooth or something, that one time. The medication the doctor prescribed and we took, and after a while, the pain of our bodies masked, we realized just in how much pain we were actually living every single day. I mean, we were living in pain. And we got too used to living in pain, and we ignored that pain, and then it was taken away. The pain was taken away for an hour or so, and we suddenly felt like we could walk on air. That's what heaven will be like. That's what it's meant when the Apostle John tells us by the power of the Holy Spirit that since we are God's children, what we are right now is not what we will be. For what we will be in the resurrection is like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shining like the sun as He did before Peter and James and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. I mean, that's the reason our Father in heaven sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to us. He sent Jesus to us so that the sin that infects us, the sin that breaks us down and ultimately kills us, could be dealt with, could be destroyed, and its effects mitigated. The last couple of weeks now, I've noted that the forgiveness of sin, it cleanses our consciences so that we can once again serve others in love. But the forgiveness of sin also does many other things, one of which is to set us on the path to future glory, to future perfection, to future joy. Salvation belongs to our God, we heard in our first reading. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. You see, God, who is love itself, loves us. And loving us, he wants to forgive us and restore us to what we should be, that is, sinless sons and daughters of God. Now why? Why does God do that? Why does he want to restore us? So he can walk with us. And he can talk with us, as he did with Adam and Eve in the garden. Yes, God wants to be with us. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. And so through his Son, God has rescued us from sin and death and the devil, sending his Spirit into our hearts, his Spirit, which causes us to believe in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so thus we can live, we Christians can live, we can live a life of denial when it comes to our future. Life of denial. Christians? Well, not a life of denial like those who would embrace death, the thought of death with store-bought plastic skeletons and tombstones with the hope of avoiding, staying away from, suppressing thoughts of hell. No. The life of denial of the Christian is a life that, when confronted with death, can say, no, that's not my future. For my future is not death, but a sleep in which I'll awaken in heaven never to die. And no, my future is not hell. For believing in Jesus as my Lord and Savior, my sins are forgiven. I've been declared a righteous, a son, a daughter of God. So I'm going to spend my future with my Heavenly Father in glory everlasting. So you can hit me with death, and you can threaten me with hell, and all that I'm going to do is deny. I'm going to say no. No, 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 that's not my future. I'll mention once again living in Germany with an American passport, knowing that I did not need to worry about life in general in Germany, about the future of Germany and what would happen there, for I had a passport, and that passport meant that I could leave. I could leave that country. I could leave that place. Eventually, I did. Well, for the Christian, our passport off this planet, our passport out of this world, our passport out of life as we know it right now is that simple piece of paper given to our parents when we were baptized, our baptismal certificate. That piece of paper that declares that we have been made a son, a daughter of God when we were baptized into our Savior Jesus Christ. When we were baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, at that moment we were declared to be citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And our future there prepared as the Holy Spirit entered our hearts and began to point them to Christ and to rid them of the sin with which we're born. Maybe today, on this All Saints observance, we could take some time this afternoon when we get home to find our baptismal certificate, wherever it may be. Yes, find that baptismal certificate and looking at it, realize what it is. Spiritual passport. It really is something that points us to a glorious future, a future of peace, a future of unimaginable joy. Why? Well, it tells us that we are God's children and that what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when Christ appears on the last day, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.